for this conference. WWF would really like to see that countries come together and agree on what the legal future of the Kyoto Protocol will be. So we would like to see parties agree, developed countries, agree on the second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol. But also at the same time, we would like to see that all countries contribute in a fair way to the overall ambition to deal with climate change, and so look at a way of getting a mandate that will negotiate a future climate regime that includes all parties. That is the one element. The other key element that we would like to see, of course, is finance and long-term finance, decisions around that, where the money will come from, the Green Climate Fund being set up, and so that we have a fund and we have the money to fill it. WWF has an initiative called the Global Climate and Energy Initiative, and we're looking at our work in relation to the global work we do in these processes, so the UNFCCC. We also interact within the G20 and in all these global fora where we try and put pressure on our governments to take ambitious actions to deal with climate change. But at the same time, we also do work at a national level in all our countries, and we have a very wide network across the world. And in each of those countries, we are encouraging government and the private sector and citizens to also start taking urgent action at a domestic level. So we deal with this as an initiative at a global level and at a national level. We need both because the urgency is very clear and we need to have urgent action, especially at domestic levels. Our biggest concern is that parties will not rise to the occasion in this climate conference and that there will not be political leadership. What we need is political leadership to reach a credible outcome in Durban, that the leaders would be able to tell the world and its citizens that we were brave and courageous enough to compromise in the interest of the globe. So that is one of the big things that we would want to happen. The risk of failure is something we cannot afford. There's an urgency to act, and that's what we would like our political leaders to understand. The USA didn't sign the Kyoto Protocol. They are needing to show that they do have a role to play in this process, and what we're needing them to do is show that the commitments they've made up to now, that they will be more ambitious about that, but also that they're willing to be part of a new global climate regime that is legally binding on all countries. The United States has to be part of such a future global regime. I think that they are in a very difficult position to be able to do that because of their own domestic situation, the politics there. There's an election coming up. The citizens in that country are really worried about the economic crisis, etc. And it's going to take real leadership on the part of the US to recognize that they have to also act as a responsible global citizen. So we want them to be acting urgently domestically and take actions to deal with their emissions, but we also want them to contribute to the overall fair share in this environment. There's no antagonism between providing solutions for climate change and growing and developing your economy. In fact, we have a number of very good examples where dealing with climate change and the solutions to climate change has helped grow the economy. So for example, right here in this country, you know, the president had announced that we have this accord that to promote a green economy and create 300,000 jobs at the same time. And that's just the minimum. So if people and leaders can realize that you can do both, it is good for your economy. They do know that. I think that there are other difficulties that they face. I think it is about political will to do that. They need to also inform and make aware with their citizens back home that in fact there isn't a threat. There isn't a threat to the economy if they do this kind of thing. And with the Green Climate Fund, we are going to need developed countries to support developing countries. That money can come through a number of sources. It has to come, of course, from public funds, but also the private sector needs to be mobilized. And we're also thinking about looking at what they call innovative sources of funding, which is not directly coming out of your public budgets, but in fact you could look at things like the financial transaction tax. It's popularly called the Robin Hood tax. The G20 has looked at this as well as an option. They haven't agreed to it yet, but there's a growing momentum around it, and South Africa is one of those countries that support it. There's the whole idea of getting the shipping and aviation sector, their emissions are rising. So you can get them to reduce their emissions and at the same time raise revenue from that. So put a carbon price on those emissions. These are innovative ways of doing it. And what we need people to understand in this process is that be creative right now. Stop seeing the blockages. Stop saying we can't do something. There's an urgency to act. So let's look at how we can do things to in fact show that we are willing and committed to dealing with climate change.